Tonight on the Chris Kloss Show, we talk about professional wrestling. Not just professional wrestling. Not just the men in professional wrestling. We talk about the chicks, the gals, the women of wrestling. Throughout the years, you've seen them at their height, at their lows. It's a male-dominated sport. But women wrestling sure captures the imaginations of many. And tonight, we get into that, the history, where it's at now, where it's going in the future. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you all to the Chris Kloss Show. And we are going to be talking about, yes, you heard the topic right there. It's the women.
Oh, yes.
Women in professional wrestling. My name is Chris Kloss, sitting right across from the Munch, Danny Montucci. You know, I was in CBS last night, Danny, walking through, getting some items. And I could not help but notice the magazine rack. I seen it right there. Maxim magazine sitting right there in front for all to see. Speaking of a woman that had a gal on the cover, oh, don't they all? But I don't know if Jeopardy is the word I should be using, but it looks like they're going to be having a second sexiest referee contest.
What?
Are you prepared? As I should say, one, are you getting in shape? How are you doing lately? I know you're here at Good Nutrition. Are you getting in shape? Are you in shape? And are you ready, if need be, to defend that title?
Well, first of all, Chris Kloss, I am ready to battle anybody. No, you know what? I did gain some weight. I had some tacos.
No way.
Right here, because we have that flea market every Friday from 5 to 10 right here at my spot. And
beautiful out here.
Yes, they give me free food. It's a free venue. It's a free show. We have live rock bands.
Okay.
We have tacos, elotes, and raspados, and quesadillas. Anyway, but yeah, I started working out again. As you can tell. Showing them abs. But yeah, I'm ready for that second to win my second twice in a row, second maximum sexist referee. West side of the Mississippi.
When did Maxim start doing this? Because it's funny, like, not only is it wrestling, but it's independent wrestling, and it's a referee, and it's a male ref, and it's only west of the Mississippi. I mean, it just seems so obscure in many ways.
It's like our topic.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
I mean, there are hot women in magazine, so you need to show a couple of the hot guy.
Well, Danny Ramirez, for those that don't know, he has the 2014 Maxim magazine's voted sexiest professional wrestling referee west of the Mississippi. So I want to congratulate him, as we always do, on that while it's still 2014. And but I guess they're taking some applicants now for 2015, so I want to wish you the best of luck in the future when that comes around. We are here, though. This is it, Danny. We are here once again in beautiful destination, vacation-bound Pacoima, California, where I urge everybody to just, when you're at the globe, when you look at the maps, the brochures, when you go to your travel agent, remember Pacoima, guys. I mean, San Diego is beautiful. Santa Barbara is beautiful. Hawaii, Miami Beach. Think about Pacoima. Think about the new trees they just planted here on San Fernando Road. Think about the expressway, the Metrolink. Think about the new taco joint they just opened up. This is the place you want to be. It's a beautiful time. We're here, right here, smack dab in the middle of summer. The home of Good Nutrition as well.
Right
here at 13120 Van Nuys Boulevard. Sweet letter F is in fairy dust. And
also, I remember they put all these extra cameras just to make sure that the cities are the streets of Van Nuys Boulevard and Pacoima are safe at night.
That's
right. You can walk 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning down Van Nuys Boulevard, and you got to remember, their eyes are watching, so you're very safe.
The eye in the sky, as they say. Yes, the eye is here, so thank you, everybody. And, you know, when you walk down the street at night, you want to feel safe, and you know, I remember when I lived in New York City, And then I moved back to Southern California. I lived in downtown Los Angeles for a while, the home of...
Downtown.
Oh, the Jeremanium original, that's right. So anyway, when I moved downtown, it was they were still kind of revitalizing it. And then you started to see people walk by themselves, especially women. And that's our topic tonight, the women of professional wrestling. My producer George is like grabbing his cranium, could not believe the brilliance of that segue right there. He is just in awe.
He's not a big fan of women wrestling, by the way.
Oh, he's not?
No, he's not. He likes the...
Oh, no, wait a minute.
He loves the midget wrestling.
Well, you know what? Freddie Blassie once said it. When fans get bored, when wrestling gets stale, what is he? What do? You bring back the midgets, you bring back the women. And then when they get bored of that, then the real wrestling comes back. So that traditionally was always the case. Isn't it funny how we were talking about this, fans, on a few shows ago, kind of race in wrestling, cultures, prejudices, racism maybe. And we were talking about how it kind of used to be that way all the way up until, let's say, like the early 90s. It didn't really start to get super PC until the late, well, after the Attitude Era. And one thing we mentioned was that equality was brought back to, let's say, some of the people that used to be stereotyped black wrestlers, Hispanic, Asian, what have you. Yeah, I know, not in wrestling. And one thing that we kind of realized was midget wrestling is just pretty much gone, and there's no place for little people to train, and that was a decision made by big people, you know. But
stupid big people.
I know, the big people, man. And think about this for a second. Like Freddie Blassie once said, the women and the midgets were kept aside and then brought back, and then kept aside and then brought back. Now that's totally gone. Look at the midgets are totally gone, and the women are now there all the time.
Well, when do they use midgets? I mean,
they never do.
There's Hornsworth, whatever, and that's it.
Pretty much, yeah, Hornswoggle. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, Hornswoggle, sorry.
So it's just ironic that these were both entities in wrestling that were just kind of used from periodically and then taken aback. Well, now the midgets are completely gone because it's just too politically incorrect. And the women are now a mainstay. They're not, they're on the back burner like half the year or something. They're always there now.
Well, let me ask you a question, Chris, and to put you in the spot, forgive me for doing this, but who is right now, at this moment, your favorite female wrestler?
I like that new one. What is it? What's it? Paige? I like that new one.
I'll tell you mine right off the bat. My favorite.
I like Natty Neidhart, though, too.
Well, check this out. My favorite wrestler, female wrestler, even though I'm feuding with her.
Oh!
Is Sage Sin.
Talk about now.
And I'm feuding with her, but when she first started, she started just, you know, and I forgive her for saying this. As every woman, weak, think they're tough, and she's been through a lot, you know. She's been trained by Supreme.
Right.
She trained at Santino's Brothers Wrestling Academy, but the last time I saw her wrestle, it's been already a couple of years already. She's good, you know. Okay. She's good. She's gotten better, and this last show what we did was. She knows now her spot, her role, you know, as a woman, as a valet, and as a wrestler.
Okay.
And when I watch WWE, it's good. And you know what? When I watch WWE, I feel like I'm watching Lucha Libre when the women wrestle.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
I get that. You know, Sage Sin, just for the benefit of those out there that are listening to us that may not be in Southern California, check her out, Sage Sin.
Supreme, Sage Sin Supreme, something like that.
And then what are the acronyms, the letters they should put? What league?
Oh, you know what? I don't know.
LXW or what was it? What was she wrestling?
LCW. No, she Bandera Pro. UEW Underground Empire Wrestling.
She's a real cutie. She's a tough girl.
She's all right.
She's a tough girl.
She hit me with a light bulb.
I know. And then she's kind of that punker chick at the same time, and she's got a cool attitude.
She's sexy, she's awesome, but I hate her right now. But she's my favorite female wrestler. I have more respect towards her for what she's gone through and what she's accomplishing over the years in the ring and how fast. And here's the thing, Chris. In wrestling, it's When you're surrounded by awesome people like I am surrounded by you, I feel better. You know, I feel more confident that I'm around great people. Satan is around people like Supreme, who is one of the is the king of the death match, and then she trained in Santinos with Chaos, you know, and it just shows you that you always got to pick up from the best, you know. And yeah, I'm gonna mark out to you. You know, you're one of the best. I'll mark out to you, George. Well, George, thank you. I know I pick it up my life. You know, I always play with him a lot, and I know he don't like it, but he puts up with me. But yeah, women wrestling has come a long way from the Fabulous Moolah.
Oh man,
Winnie Richter. Remember Winnie Richter?
Yeah.
Do you remember those matches?
Yeah, I do. And you look at women's wrestling now, and one thing I'll say, obviously, is that it's a show for the men. I think now more than ever, it's a show for the men. And it always, it's funny because wrestling was more male dominated, it would seem like, in the old days. Yet now the women have become more scantily clad and more kind of eye candy than they've ever been. And you would think this was more something that you would see back in the day because women have come a little bit farther, but in some ways it seems like they've backed up a little bit within their own agenda. Personally, I think it's great, you know, I want to see it, but I think in their own agenda, you know, them wanting to not be all about their tits and ass, you know, they want to be, but it seems like they are more than ever now.
Well,
George shaking his head.
Name me one of the last time you saw a WWE female match.
Well, this past Monday.
Okay, tell me who it was. And tell me.
Tell me what part
of the match you weren't focused on ass and tits.
Well, I'll tell you, it was the Bellas, because they're going into SummerSlam with Stephanie. And one of the Bellas has a little bit heavier on top than the other. So I think that's always a little interesting.
I met them. They're awesome. Bella Twins.
Yeah. But no, it just, how much has women's wrestling changed from now? Then you go back to Attitude Era, and before that, let's rewind all the way to the Rock and Wrestling, the Wendy Richter Moolah.
Let me ask you a question.
That was the question I just asked.
The 80s is, and name me two after this, okay? The 80s for me, I remember Fabulous Moolah, mm-hmm. Wendy Richter. Who else do you remember?
I remember Velvet McIntyre. I remember
that one. Like, well, yeah, I just remember that one. Well,
okay, I remember the Jumping Bomb Angels from Japan.
Okay, I remember
Bull Nakana.
Okay, how about the 90s?
Alundra.
You can't Google
Blaze.
It. Alundra Blaze. That's right, and she's the one who took the WWF title to WCW.
That's right. Yeah, and she was the.
How about Trish Stratus?
Trish Stratus, of course.
Stacy.
Let's not forget about the Between Time. Okay, check this out. The Between Time. You talked about Birth of Faith. Oh, okay. Let's. You know, it's ironic because women's wrestling was huge. With Wendy Richter was put up there right with Hulk Hogan with the MTV Rock and Wrestling.
Yes.
She was right along with her in Cyndi Lauper. And then, like you were saying, you fast forward to...
I'm sorry.
Trish Stratus. Fast forward to...
I forgot. I'm sorry. Because I'm just thinking...
Okay, wait. You might be thinking what I'm thinking.
What? G-L-O.
Yeah. Glow. I was going to get to that a little bit. I just got done watching the... documentary on Netflix right now, Glow, the whatever 20 or 30th year anniversary.
Wow.
Well, we work with Big Vision Entertainment. I know you were there on some of those occasions, Danny, visiting. But we distributed at the time. Glow was trying to relaunch their product, and Babe the Farmer's Daughter, she was the executive producer, so she was always
awesome,
in the office.
Awesome lady.
With her little daughter, Alaska, with Mountain Fiji.
You remember Mark Hartman?
Tickle, tickle, tickle.
This one's from Mike. This is from Mike Hartman. Mike, ready this for you, bro. Go.
Tickle, tickle, tickle. So,
I remember walking into Big Vision,
Mountain
and you're Mike. That's all I heard every day at Big Vision Entertainment.
That's right. We were screening those Glow DVDs, and they were fun. They were fun to watch, man. And because we had a lot of DVDs we had to screen, some deathmatch stuff, even the stuff I called. To be honest, yes, it's great, but I'm not a fan of every single product that I worked for necessarily.
Of course not.
Yeah, no, and I really enjoyed, even though I worked on some of those, and don't get me wrong, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to call a match, you know, but there are some things that I look at from my childhood, for example, and I would, just to give you, just to let you know, fans, this is a commentary, a statement right here that I'll make. I personally, I can, but I choose never to sit at home and watch my old XPW.
Right.
I never watch my old WSX, but I can sit there and watch a ton of all the WWF stuff, WCW stuff that I grew up on, NWA, World Class. I can watch that. I'll watch an XPW. I'll watch a WSX. It usually happens if somebody else is interested. Like, oh, really? You did this? Let me check it out. Oh, okay. Let's check it out.
And that's funny because...
I don't know. But yet, it's some of the most fond memories I've ever had.
Right.
Just a great time. But I just can't sit there and watch. I don't know what it is. It's just... I think I want to relive what I...
And I'm the opposite.
Brought me into liking wrestling in the first place. Which was my childhood.
And I'm the opposite, Chris. I would sit and rather watch... listen to you commentate as the match is going on. I mean, Gorilla Monsoon was great. Bobby Heenan was great. Jesse Ventura was great. And I laugh, but when I try to watch wrestling, I'll put it on the old WSX and old XPW when you're announcing with you and Larry Rivera. And I crack up because I like to mark out to people that I know, and it makes me feel good to know, damn, I was part of that.
No, that's true. Like, I do enjoy watching some of the boys that I know personally and work a match, and it is a little bit different when you watch it in that light. So I do know what you mean, but I don't know. With me, I just can't sit there and watch my stuff over and over. But I can watch all the stuff from my childhood. Man, talk about it.
Why do you think I watch it over?
Well, I think it's maybe like you just said, you have a personal connection with some of those people that you're watching.
Well, not only that, but I know, you know, we're going to do more, you know?
No, that too. Well, we're doing more right now. We want to thank all the fans out there and help us out for keeping to do more. And right now, I want to go back to our topic, Danny, because
yes, women wrestling.
I want to touch on GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, which was big.
Too.
Yes, so do we all. It was big in the 80s. GLOW was big. You know, some of their ratings were beating WWF shows.
Well, for real?
Yeah. And let me ask you this. You were talking about Fabulous Moolah, talking about Wendy Richter, the Rock and Wrestling. Then you fast-forwarded to, like, Alondra Blaze, Trish Stratus, and all that. Look at what we skipped over. And there was no women's wrestling. And let's talk about that. WrestleMania 3, the golden era, all the way up until WrestleMania 9, 10, there wasn't any. Okay, I think it was 10 and 11. They started back with Alondra Blaze. 10 and 11, right? Okay, so look at this, Danny, for a second.
Yes.
All the way from 3 to 9, no, virtually no women wrestling.
But there weren't any female valets?
Okay, no, there were. Now, think about this. No women's wrestling in the golden era, 3 to, let's say, 6, okay? But it was the most impact ever from women in wrestling. With the storylines from Miss Elizabeth to Sensational Sherry.
That's right.
You know, and they were such a prominent part of wrestling, and actually them being primarily Miss Elizabeth being in that spotlight, in that storyline, in that scenario with your two top guys leading into a main event at WrestleMania, carrying that feud over for within a year. You look how big that was, and honestly, as much as there was very little women's wrestling at that time in wrestling, look how much women, and I think maybe impacted wrestling more then than when they did wrestle.
You're right. It's just like, and I hate to say that, it had a meaning to it.
Yeah. I guess, you know, men and women could relate because women, you know, I'd say men don't necessarily want to see a tough chick. Some, you know, but Elizabeth was there, a prominent part. And the women... the women loved that storyline because it was a love triangle. It was a freaking soap opera.
Elizabeth!
No, that's later. I'm talking about Savage and Hogan. And,
ooh,
and
yeah.
Like, Liz had to choose between which corner she's going to be in and all that. That's what I think got the mainstream women audience into wrestling. A big part of it, a chunk of it, was because of that. Because before that, you had Andre Hogan, you had all that, and that was big mainstream. But women couldn't truly relate to it until Elizabeth came in.
Now, refresh my memory, Klaus. Why was Elizabeth thinking of which corner? Wasn't Macho Man her?
Well, they never really established that. It was just like Elizabeth and Savage, and then... Since she managed the Mega Powers, I mean, now it's obvious you look back, but at the time, she managed the tag team of the Mega Powers, two good guys. Now, they hate each other, but Savage is the guy instigating and provoking everything, so even though she was with him first, she wants to go to the guy she was with first, but now she wants to pick the guy that's good, so she was torn.
And you remember what, you know, I mean, my favorite Elizabeth and Macho Man moment was WrestleMania 7.
At the LA Sports Arena, yes. Right here in Southern California, right next to the LA Coliseum.
When she came out to him, people were like, wow. You know?
Yeah, and I think, you know, our producer here, actually, George, I think it was our last show, he kind of touched on this whole scenario where it was just played out as the perfect match. This is after they broke up, WrestleMania 5, and Savage then... aligned himself with the sensational Sherry, and then he lost her retirement match, so she got upset because he was kicked out of the WWF, therefore she was, because she was his valet. She attacks him. Elizabeth comes out of the crowd. First off, the match was a 5-star match with him and the Warrior at WrestleMania 7. It was a 5-star match. Then you add the
element. Of course, had a Warrior.
Yeah, and then you add the element onto it with Elizabeth coming out of the crowd. Dude, it really was, I mean, it's one of the greatest matches. Not just the pro wrestling, but just the way it told a story, the way it played out, the psychology. I mean, it was just storybook perfect. I want to say perfect, but it was storybook perfect.
So now with WWE, they don't use storylines like that anymore. Now you have wrestling.
Well, it's rushed. And I think too, Danny, to elaborate on you just saying right there, how they don't use storylines anymore. They don't have storylines to use as much. Meaning, when Liz came to the ring, jumped the railing and hugged Macho, why did it mean so much? Because it had been going on for 2 years. The last thing that was that much of an impact in pro wrestling was, we just watched it earlier today on the network, The Undertaker losing his streak. That was pretty much the last thing I could think of that is going to be... that humongous of an impact.
Let me ask you a question, Chris. You know how
I don't think it was a good impact either.
I liked it.
I don't think it was a good impact because it left the fans not angry. It just left them sad. And if you leave the fans mad, that creates money. If you leave them sad, it doesn't create money.
Hey, here's the thing. We'll talk about that some other time. But do you think... I mean, who's a big name right now in WWE female?
The Bellas.
Not the Bellas, but like who's like before it was Trish Stratus. Do you think
who's the it girl in the WWE?
There is none. I can think of. I mean, seriously.
I think they all kind of made like cookie cutters. They're all a little bit the same right now.
So let's pretend Trish Stratus.
Maybe the closest thing I can think of, maybe not right now, but AJ Lee.
Oh,
AJ.
Yeah, you're right.
Probably AJ.
Now you think. You think they could do a storyline with AJ as reverse? They say AJ being Macho Man and AJ having a male manager. How do you think that
would be Glow to 2020? You know, that would be if they brought Glow back. Like, I think that would work in a women's wrestling league.
And you don't think it would work in WWE, though?
I don't think so. I think it still wouldn't work.
I think that's what you think. Why don't you ask your fans? Ask the fans. What if the fans?
Okay.
Let's put that up to the audience.
Yeah, okay.
Tell me your email.
Well, first off, I want to, you know, you got to remember, this is CM, the Mrs. Punk.
What? Say it again?
Mrs. Punk.
AJ is married to...
Yes, it's now AJ Punk.
That bitch. She's always going to wait.
AJP.
What?
Yeah, and she's not Asian, but if you mix her letters up, it will say Jap.
Backwards.
Well, actually, what is she?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. No, AJ.
You just gotta switch the J and the A, and the P stays at the end.
Wow. But, wow, I did not know that. When did this happen? Why did nobody tell me this?
Well, this is kind of coming through the grapevine, and thanks to the World Wide Web, we have all that info. But by the time this airs, people, I'm sure this will be public knowledge. But anyway, you know what? I was watching the 30th anniversary, I think it was 30, on Netflix. It's a great documentary. GLOW, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. And this, again, was the wrestling company that was big in the 80s. It finally got syndicated. And the brain trust behind it, I can't remember everybody's names, but a major producer came into the Riviera Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was actually just out in Vegas, and I happened to stay at the Riviera. And then I was watching this documentary, and I'm looking at all these little places at the Riviera that I was just at. It's a total coincidence. But we went and saw that, you know, the Crazy Girl show. That thing's been playing there for, what, 30, 20-something years now.
Yeah,
so we saw that, and then I was looking at this documentary, and here they are in the same bar. Basically, they turned one of their, or two of their showrooms, turned it basically into a small studio wrestling. Yeah, auditorium with a wrestling ring.
Oh, wow.
And then the girls, they basically just cast this thing. WWF was so big at the time after WrestleMania 1. These guys decided, let's do a women's wrestling league. They didn't think it was going to fly. They basically just auditioned a bunch of girls like they would basically audition for a TV show.
Right.
And maybe you might have to do some stunt work. Okay, so a ton of girls showed up. Then they all found out it was professional wrestling. Half of them went out the door. Didn't even want to mess with it. The other half got cut, and then they finally like picked and choose. Then Riviera, they started doing shows, and they saw that wrestling's popularity was huge at that time. So they had a decent production. The show was local at the time. And they thought it looked like it could go somewhere. So check it out, dude. These girls told the Riviera, like, all right, hey, we want to do this. Move on in. Get rid of your apartments.
Wow.
You're living in the Riviera Hotel.
Oh, wow.
This is your home. Maid service, like they're a guest every day, you know, and they get to sell, and it's for free.
Wow.
And they're getting paid. So this is what happened. They had some strict rules, though. The girls were young. They couldn't go out party too much. And it was total kayfabe. They could never be seen, good girls and bad girls, together.
Right.
Not even in the casinos. Nowhere.
Oh, wow.
Like, if they were one in the casino playing, the others had to be at the other end of the casino. And if they did happen to get near each other, they had to always put on, like, they wanted to jump each other out. Yeah.
That's awesome, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's how it should be, really.
Yeah, and a lot of them got tired of the lifestyle. It was a little grueling and all that. But anyway, it's a very good documentary. And GLOW, I remember seeing it on television. Do you remember, Danny, back in the day when you were a kid?
Yeah, I remember somebody breaking their elbow.
Yeah, that's right. They showed that.
What was that?
Can't remember her name. Little Egypt.
But see, I remember when that happened.
It was a simple sunset flip, too.
Yes, and I remember when that happened, people were like, oh, my God, these girls are wrestling for real.
Yeah. where they didn't get it was a botch. It was a mess up. But interesting.
There's another documentary. It's called Lipstick and Dynamite.
Oh, Lipstick Dynamite.
Remember that? In fact, the wife of the guitarist from my favorite band, Suicidal Tendencies, Mike Clark, which we met when we were filming for MTV WSX. Remember that?
Yes.
He awesome guy, and his wife was there, and she was cool. She's a big wrestling fan, and she gave everybody those tickets about Lipstick and Dynamite. I don't know if you ever watched it.
No, I haven't seen it. Actually, when I was done watching The GLOW, it came up as the next recommended video, but I just didn't have time at the time.
It's pretty good. I mean, for women that want to get into wrestling, they should check these out. Well, let me ask you this, Chris. If a female friend of yours asked you, let's pretend a guy asked you and a girl, let's say George is a female. Hi, Chris. I want to be a wrestler. What do you do? Will you give him or her the same
if she was if she was a very, very dear, good friend of mine, I cared about her, I'd say don't fucking think about it twice. Get out of this business.
But she's gorgeous.
I know, but you know what? It's tough
for men. You know, WWE is not what
you know.
As
tough as it is for men, it's a rough racket, you know, for women. It's a male dominated sport, and you know, I remember a buddy. You know, it's kind of like what was that movie, Boys in the Hood, when the dad said the military ain't no place for a black man, and that's kind of what I would, you know. Take that for what you want, everybody. But I would at least think in those same terms. I think I would think in those same terms for women in wrestling. Not to say that women can't do it. Not to say that there's some extraordinary women athletes out there. I think it's just so cutthroat. But if it is your dream, it's your passion. I'm going to tell you right now, go for it. Because you know we would never have been where we are and done the things we've done had we not followed that dream. And I'm thankful that I have, you know, and I have no regrets. So if you're going for it and if you want it, then yeah, of course do it. But I'm just giving you a little kind of parental guidance warning little label there before you do it.
Chris, question. Ready?
Sir.
You watch wrestling as a professional sport or just for entertainment? That's one question. Second question. If you watch it as a professional sport, which I do. I love watching wrestling. I can't watch WWE. That's why I watch some of the old stuff. But, I'm sorry. I'll watch, like, Randy Orton and stuff like that.
Well,
you know?
let me answer that first.
Hold on.
Okay.
Before we go on commercial, question is, if you don't watch wrestling as a professional sport, like, oh, my God, you know, like MMA, whatever.
Okay.
Who would you rather watch? AJ and Trish Stratus kind of females? Or China and Nicole Bass. Wait, don't answer that. Think about it. Because remember, this is a sport that we want to see girls go at it and not show tits and ass when they're actually beating themselves up. But think about that as we're going to commercial because I got to go pee.
This is Todd Kennelly, and you're listening to my brother from another mother, Chris Kloss, on The Chris Kloss Show. For those of you out there that are tired of being sluggish, tired of feeling lousy, tired of having no energy, that can now change. I know you've heard it all before, but this is different. This is the way to go. Danny Ramirez, star of The Chris Kloss Show, is presenting his own personal fitness club called Good Nutrition, located at 13120 Van Nuys Boulevard, Pacoima, California, 91331. Come on down, train, and get the best in nutrition products. It's Danny Ramirez. Good Nutrition. Call 818-447-3799.
Hi, everybody. This is WWE superstar Jerry the King Lawler. That's right, the voice of Monday Night Raw. And you are listening to The Chris Kloss Show. I don't know why you're listening, but you are.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Chris Kloss Show, part two, here in Pacoima, California. We're talking about women in professional wrestling. I had some interesting conversations there. Very interesting how the business has changed and how wrestling is such a mainstay now. It's been there for so long, but the women involved in wrestling, their whole history is kind of been back and forth. You know, we talked earlier about how, you know, one of the greatest icons in the history of business, Classy Freddie Blassie, once said years ago, wrestling as it is today in many ways, it repeats itself. It's very cyclical. And in a downtime, they traditionally back in the day would bring the midgets back and the women wrestling back when crowds got bored. And then they would take the midgets and women away when they got bored of them, and then they'd want to see the regular, quote-unquote, male wrestling. So it's very interesting, again, how things have changed. Women are now such a mainstay in wrestling. The midgets are completely gone. They're completely gone. So it's very interesting how, again, things have changed. And therefore, we're kind of discussing it. We were talking a little bit earlier, Danny, about GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, the big league that was very popular in the 1980s. And I just was fortunate to watch that documentary. Again, I used to work for Big Vision Entertainment, the folks who produced the show. We were on Wrestling Society X on MTV, as well as our XPW reunion shows. And they also distributed, produced, and I was kind of in charge of the public relations, as far as all that went, getting those tapes in the Best Buy and, you know, Walmart, all those other good stores. And one of those DVDs was Glow. They at the time, it was the 20th anniversary, because it was 1986 to 2006. So, yeah, that was the 20th. So, yeah, this would have been the 25th anniversary, the one that's on Netflix now. And it was done very well. But Babe, the Farmer's Daughter, I became very good friends with her, and she was really the one that was had her heart into it, really trying to launch this forward. And shout out to her and her little daughter, Alaska.
Alaska, I remember Alaska.
Oh, my gosh, I wonder, she's probably all big, grown up, and all that.
Probably in Alaska, not California.
Oh, my gosh. Well, anyway, if they're listening out there, I'd love to have them on the show, too. So we want to talk a little bit more about the women in professional wrestling. I like Glow because it was kind of like vaudeville. It was kind of these cheesy little vignettes and skits. Yeah. But you still, at the same time, there was all kayfabe going on. So it was kind of unique in the sense that it was so over-the-top silly, yet you took wrestling so much more serious than they do now.
Chris, can you verify the meaning of kayfabe for those that don't know the meaning of kayfabe?
I think I'll let you do that, Danny.
Okay, thank you, Chris, for giving me this opportunity to talk. Yes, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Danny Montague Ramirez, and kayfabe. Well, I can't tell you about the kayfabe.
Yes, you can. This is not PG TV here.
Kayfabe basically is keep it real, you know? If me and you are feuding, I can't, after we fight, can't go out to the fucking bar and have a fun time with you. Because if I hate your guts, I basically have to hate your guts.
So we therefore have to kayfabe, have to live this life that we lived in the ring for the fans' sake.
Yes. And it's awesome how, I didn't know that about what you just said. Now I'm interested in watching this documentary because wrestling, first of all, wrestling, you go through a lot of crap. Now, as a female, you go through more shit.
Probably,
you know?
Yeah.
And to see women succeed.
Different kind of shit, let's just say. Yes. Different kind, which could be pretty degrading.
When you, I mean, you know what's sad, too, that it, I know females, I'm not going to mention names, which we know, that wrestled and that got the way on top by getting on top.
Right.
You know what I mean by that, right?
Yep.
And it's funny because, I mean, George don't like that. Is that the same as wrestling as in before, where guys had a kayfabe to get on top? Do women do the same thing, but it's not?
I think now you better allude as to where the term kayfabe... We all know now what kayfabe means.
But people talk about that.
Basically, like, let's for example, I remember one time we were in the back at XPW, and Pogo was back there, and him and I were just shooting the shit, and I think Rosano or Supreme or somebody came up and the fans started walking around the side of the building to check us out. You know, we were outside and then Pogo's he just rolls his eyes. He goes, "Oh, motherfucker, kayfabe guys, fuck." And he was just like wanting to let us know, like, "Hey, let's get back in character because here comes the fans. I'm not Ed. You're not Lester. You're not even Chris. You're not even Gary. You know, Joey. You're Chaos. You're Supreme. You're Pogo. You're Chris Kloss announcer. You're Danny Ramirez referee. You're not Chris Kloss. You're the guy." You know, so that was kayfabe. Kayfabe is like, okay, here comes the fans. Siegfried and Roy, David Copperfield aren't going to show how they do the magic trick. People know it's a magic trick. They know it's not really magic, but they don't know how the magic trick is done. That's kayfabe. So, anyway, that's kayfabe. And how did it get the name kayfabe, Danny Ramirez?
Well,
interesting. This is very interesting.
Well, here's
this
the,
is maybe a little bit of the dark side.
If it was female wrestlers, how would they call it? I mean, because I mean, it'll be like
Les Cave, Les Fave,
Les of a Favor,
Les Fave,
Gay Fave, which
K-K.
Means K Fave, which before used to be called Gay Favor.
Yeah, Gay Favor came. K Fave came from the term Gay Favor, homosexual favor.
And that favor was back in the days of promoters, who where the promoter would tell, for example, George Marshall, "Hey, buddy, you want to be to the top?" And George would be like, "Yes, I want to be to the. I want to get on top of the wrestling world." And I'd be like, "Well, you have to do me a gay favor." And George, "Well, what kind of favor is it?" And one is either he blew me up, gave me a blowjob, or he
George
bent
did
over.
This?
And I'm just saying, if he wanted to get on top, you had to bend over and take one in the rear.
Oh my gosh!
So there was back
again, the dark side of the business. And,
so gay favor, from being a doing me a gay favor to being called a gay fave,
yeah,
to going to kayfabe.
Now the reason why, okay, you might be asking yourself, well, why of all terminology, why did it come from that of all things, the gay favor? Okay, well, when these things happened. Okay, when the promoters would kind of act slimy and do these things to these young kids getting in the business. You've got to remember, these kids were hungry. They want to get into the business. They want to do what they can do. Not only was it degrading, but these guys themselves weren't necessarily gay.
Nope.
And they still forced themselves to do it just because they wanted to live their dream out. So it was really kind of scummy stuff. So obviously, this stuff, these gay favors, were kept hush, hush. Nobody talked about them. Therefore, this is something that nobody talks about.
Right.
Gay favors. So what also don't we talk about in wrestling? We don't talk about how the business really works, that
right,
good guys and bad guys like each other. And so something that we knew that already meant not to say anything was gay favor. You don't talk about it. So this is something else that we don't talk about. So it went into, it sort of got morphed into kayfabe. And so kayfabe, historically, came from the hush-hush gay favor, but kayfabe means let's hush-hush, but about how the business works, good guy, bad guy, and all this stuff, and it's fake.
Yeah,
so,
you know, it's funny, Chris, sorry to interrupt you, but when we hear stories about certain wrestlers, and this is where, we're still talking about women, right? I know we went out on the page of kayfabe and stuff like that. When we hear stories of a wrestler or certain wrestlers or promoters that did a kayfabe, we're like, oh my God, he did that? Oh, wow. But when we hear a woman do a favor to a promoter,
yeah,
we're like, oh, what a slut.
Yeah, it's all, well, I think a lot of that, too, is true. True, right? Okay.
Why isn't it? Why is it? I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what my thought is. I think we just alluded to it just moments ago. I think a lot of the really seediness of it all, as bad as it is to take advantage of a woman that, you know, the bottom line is, if she's going to agree to it, she wasn't forced to it, she wants that position, yes, it's degrading, those are two consenting adults that agree to it. A lot of the times when you see this in wrestling with the young boys, it's one of those things where they tend to be a little bit younger, the guys, and second of all, they're really doing something, even though they are consenting just like the woman is. They're extremely confused in the sense that they're doing something that they're not necessarily gay themselves. And the women, as bad as it is, I'm not excusing it at all, but they will sleep with the man in real life. You know, I'm not saying this is good, but I think it's just you cringe a little bit more with the guys. Maybe because I'm relating to it, I'm a guy, I can't relate to
somebody
women.
Gave you a kayfabe.
So that could be sexist, and without trying to sound sexist at all, I'm just saying that the guys themselves that aren't gay that are doing it are just really kind of, you just kind of, oh man, and it's almost like you think of this life-changing moment that these guys are doing and they don't realize maybe the shit they're going to go through. I don't know. So, I don't know. But it is kind of, I think too, Danny, we hear about this all the time with women. Like, it's just kind of known throughout history. This is kind of one of those odd things that you don't really hear about too much. So when you do, it's, you know, it's a little bit more obscure,
wow,
than, you know, than hearing the standard, like you said, slut of the office or whatever.
And it's sad that, I mean, I know it's hard. I mean, first of all, I'm a man, and it's hard to be a woman just for what they go through from what I've seen, right?
Yeah, that is true.
And in the course of history, I mean, women don't have to go, well, I don't know, it's different for them to go on top like guys did in wrestling, you know? And to watch women wrestling now is just totally different how they were. Because remember, back to my question before we went to commercial, Nicole Bass, China, I mean, how big were they?
They were men. They were bigger than most men.
I got chokeslammed by Nicole.
Yeah, I'm 6'3", and I remember Nicole Bass made me feel like I was your height.
Wait.
No. I'm kidding. But seriously, like, dude, she would dwarf me, dude.
Right, she was big.
She was humongous, man. She was like as big as Big Dick Dudley, dude.
So how hard was it for them as females at that point in time compared to now? Girls now WWE wants female.
Yeah. Oh, they want the eye candy.
So what did these girls go through? How many girls did not make it to WWE? Not looking that big, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's kind of what we were talking about earlier, how women have come so far. Like you said, it's always been this way. It's been hard for women in general society. But times have gotten easier. Things have progressed, right? They're not just the objects that they used to be. But at the same time, as much as that's progressed in normal society, it's kind of devolved in wrestling. You had the strong women back in with China and Nicole Bass. You had them with Trish Stratus. And even with, dude, Moolah, Wendi Richter. Okay, as much as it's advanced in real life, why is it devolved in wrestling? It's more tits and ass than it's ever been. And that's the ironic thing to me. Like, what happened?
Well, when I
watch, they're Playboy. They're strippers, dude. I love watching it. It's cool. And yes, they can work. They do know how to excel. But you're never going to see a fabulous Moolah again. You're never going to see a China again. You're going to see a Bull Nakana. I think even Wendi Richter wouldn't make the hot scale of today, dude.
Let me ask George producer this question. George, question is, Google it, please. What Playboy sold most? Didn't China post for Playboy?
Twice.
What sold more, China's or Sable?
I think Sables, I'm sure.
No, I mean seriously. Well, remember China did the stuff with us back, not with us, but with Extreme.
Yes.
And people were buying it just to see her.
Just to see it, yeah.
So what Playboy sold? Sables or China?
Sables.
You guys know that for a fact? It's really like, I don't care.
At the time, Sables was like the number one in Playboy history.
But China was also a badass.
No, she was up there too. I think China, though, was for that morbid curiosity. I don't know. But I just... You know what I'm saying right now, Danny, is that...
You don't want to do that.
You know what I'm saying right now is that... Where are those strong women now in wrestling?
Well, who is right
that
now?
That don't have to have a porno body. You know, look at, I don't watch wrestling to get off. I go to porn, okay? You know? So why they don't need this in wrestling. It just takes away from what they want to be in the first place as women wrestlers. It's not about the physique. But I think things are changing too for the men, because you didn't necessarily have every guy needing to have this awesome physique back in the day. You had guys like Harley Race, real looking guys, Jerry Lawler. You had guys like Arn Anderson. You know, you had guys like Jim Neidhart. You didn't have all these guys like Randy Orton, Edge, Triple H. They're all like cookie cutter physiques.
Right.
They all look the same. So I don't know what's happened in that sense. I don't know. Has wrestling become more Hollywood than it used to? It used to kind of be its own entity. Now it's becoming more vain than it used to be. I don't know.
You know what? When WWE, the last time I watched it, and the women's match started, it changed the channel. But the last indie show that I went
on. True.
I wanted to see Sage Sin versus Nicole,
right.
The New York Knockout.
Right.
Just because I wanted to see how they did, you know? And I went out of my way to try to watch that match just to see how they did. But when I watched WWE, it's like, and you're right, you're watching WWE, and I'm thinking, all right, it's gonna be some ass and tits. But when you know people like Sage Sin and New York Knockout, when they wrestle, you're watching it to see what they do when they're not showing ass and tits like that, you know?
Yeah, and it becomes about the actual wrestling, but. I don't know. I think it's ironic. I think it's ironic again how, you know, things have progressed in so many ways. Yet they're calling these women now the, what do they say, smart, sexy, beautiful? George Hermosa, like a year ago or so, they were saying that.
George doesn't like this topic.
It's almost like, oh, smart, sexy, powerful. Yeah. But with China there, with Trish Stratus, with all those, they didn't have to say it. Now they almost have to throw it down your throat. Oh, by the way, we're powerful too.
Yeah, you know? And who was that girl? Stacy was her? Or Stacy Keibler?
Stacy Keibler, yeah. Oh, and Corey...
Trey Wilson? But remember Stacy...
By the way, we were at the WrestleMania 21 after party at the Universal Sheraton. And fortunately enough, I had a couple friends in that company that were able to get us in there. I'm telling you this, man. I've never seen these girls go more nuts. Tori Wilson, all of them. They were just like goo-goo eyes. Keep in mind, we were in Hollywood, and The Rock had already been in the movies at this point. You know, he was becoming a pretty big star. Everybody was there that night. Undertaker, McMahon, I mean, everybody. Stone Cold, everybody. All in one room. Flair, and it was really an honor. Kurt Angle, everybody came. But The Rock shows up, you know, and because it was WrestleMania, and it was right there. And it was one pretty cool seeing that, because he obviously didn't have to be there that night, and he just kind of showed up just to show his respect, and him and Taker were talking, and then him and Vince were talking, and it was pretty cool. It was almost like when they saw each other, too. It was a little reunion. And I think it was cool to see Rock pay his respects. I know we've seen that at WrestleMania, like when he comes back, and okay, it's one thing to see it there, but just to let you fans know, a little brief story. I can kind of talk about this night later in a little bit more detail, but yeah, he came back and he showed his respect, but damn, dude, I can't believe these divas. It's so funny because they all work with him and in the past, but you know, all of a sudden he makes movies and he got the attention like nobody else. So one thing I'll say, ladies and gentlemen, is it's been an interesting topic. And we are going to wrap things up here for this particular episode of the Chris Klaus Show. I want to thank everybody for joining us once again. And it's been an interesting topic. I will say this. I want to recommend, go, if you have Netflix, check out the Glow Women of Wrestling DVD show that is on Netflix right now. And a shout out again to Babe, the Farmer's Daughter. Looking better than ever, of course. And all the best to Mount Fiji. She's recovering right now. So we want to wish her all the best. And Attila the Hun as well. But hopefully they'll have some sort of reunion show. It'd be great if they did it at the Riviera, man. How cool would that be in Las Vegas? Nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank everybody for joining. Let us know what you feel about women wrestling. The history. Where it was then. Where it is now. Where it's going to be in the future, you know, and you can send that to questions@chrisklaus.com. Who your favorite women wrestlers are of all time?
Who is Mount Rushmore?
Oh, there you go. Who is your Mount Rushmore of women wrestlers? That's kind of tough, actually. I can't even think of it right off the top of my head. Nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, this is Chris Klaus for my co-host Danny Ramirez and for our producer. In crime this week. Really mums the word for this guy this week. George Hermosa. He is here, though. Don't let him fool you guys. He's right here in the background. Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Don't forget to send us questions at this place, which I'm about to tell you. questions@chrisklaus.com. Give us your thoughts about today's topic, women of professional wrestling. So long, folks. See you next time.